Blog Talk Radio. Because the reliance shall break every chain.
Okay, y'all, I apologize for the delay. I think the rain had me relaxed.
Brother Drew and Brother Mahal, I wanna do a short presentation on what we gonna be talking about, and then I'll let you come in and elaborate. And Lady Charles is on the line. She said she'd be on the line. She want to ask us some questions. But I want to do a short presentation of how we do, you know, how we do things on what history that we're studying today. So the history we're studying today is the 1881 King James Revised Bible, which the Christian Church of the Western Hemisphere says is the Word of God. This is the book that they go by. And the way we study in a chronological order, and we study with etymology, which is the origin of the word, and we up on the who, what, when, how, why, and where it come from. And that's how we'll be doing this study of of the 1881 Bible that the people that call themselves Christians believe in. This Bible was wrote up under what we call the H, I, and J doctrine. The H doctrine is that of in Latin. The I doctrine is in Greek. And the Gentiles doctrine is in the J doctrine. This Bible, the 1881 Bible, is the 1523 Tyndale Bible that's read from left to right. In the Bible, his name was Jesus, Jesus. His first name would be, you're dealing with Jesus, got translated into Jesus, I-E-S-E-S, and when it became the Gentile Bible, it became J-E-S-U-S, upon the Paulinian doctrine, teaching of Paul. This is the J doctrine, is up on the Paulinian teaching, which is that of the Nicene Creed, the Apostolic Creed, and the Tertullian Creed, three different doctrines that this teaching is up under, the Paulinian teaching is up under. When we go into this 1881 Bible, they have some instructions in there for you to follow. At Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter and the second verse, it says, do not add to the words or take away these words from what is written in the Torah and the Tanakh, which got renamed the Old Testament. The first five books is Torah. The other 30 books is the Tanakh, of the history of Yehuda and Yasharal, two nations of people and their kingdoms. This book tells you this 1881 changed the name of Bereshit to Genesis and Dabarim to Deuteronomy, they automatically have broke what is written in the fourth chapter, adding to the word and revising this and putting it into another language. You could never do that. So you can see where the mistake starts right here of what the Gentiles made, this mistake. This book tell you in Deuteronomy, the 28th and 49th chapter, that it would be a nation of people that would put you, they would take away, that the Magog and Gog, which is the Gentile, would take away a nation of people, and these nation of people, they would be completely genocided, and after a certain period of time, they would think that they were Gentiles, sort of like the black African American who thinks he's a black Gentile. We know who he is in this day and time of what is said in Matthew's 10 and 5. And Luke 12 and 51, it gives you a warning. It says that do not believe in the teaching of Christ, because Christ would bring division. Then at Matthew's the 24th chapter, the 23rd verse, it says, anybody coming in the name of Christ, believe in him not. Then when we go to the 2 Timothy 2 and 8, Paul, who is Apollonius of Tyana, is his real name. But Paul told you that he raised Jesus Christ out of the grave upon his teaching, which was known today as Paulinian teaching. When we go to Revelation 2, verse 15, it'll tell you that the Naz hated the teaching of these three doctrines. These three doctrines was false teaching of the Western churches. The Western churches have this. The reason it's false teaching is that when you go back into the history of Constantine, who gave you Christianity, present-day Christianity, up under the cross of In hoc signum, wiki. you will see that the church, the present-day Roman Catholic Church, and from Constantine time, been up under the teaching of Mithraism for one simple reason. The head of the church, Roman Catholic Church, is not a pope. The pope is his followers. He's called the Promus Maximus. Constantine was the last Promus Maximus to the teaching of Mithraism. Mithraism is where the head is Promus Maximus. You'll go back into the word Christ. Christ came out of the word Krishna, which Krishna is a Hindu god. Hindu is the oldest religion known to mankind. Krishna is, Lord Krishna is the son of Shiva, who is the mother, who is same as Mary in this, in up under the J teaching doctrine. We see that this word Christ is Krishna. And so there have been 13 crucified Christs in the history of Christianity. So present-day Christianity is taught is Mithraism up under Pauline teaching. Now, let's look at the Naz. The Nazarene was a strict Yehuda sect who observed Jewish Yehuda's laws. We call them Jewish laws in this language, up under the J doctrine. They didn't eat meat or sacrifice animals. They went strictly, they was fanatical about the 613 moral laws. They were fanatical to the point that they would kill you if you broke these laws. This is who the Nazarene was. It was when the Nazarene was in the ways of Abraham, and that priesthood was in the order of Melchizedek. And this Nazarene did away with temple worshiping, which is worshiping in a church. He did away with this, and he made your body your temple, and you was to obey the way of his father up under these 613 laws, and to honor your mother and your daddy, not your father, because he told you couldn't call nobody father with the father, and he was in heaven, so you got a daddy and a mama. So you were supposed to honor them, not love them, because he told you supposed to love only the Father. His sign was the fish. The fish is a symbol of a fisherman, a man to teach them what he taught was the ways of the truth and the light of his Father's kingdom. His how, he had woolly hair, brass feet, animal skin, and he taught only to out of scrolls that was handed down from his forefathers in the ways of Melchizedek. Now, when he came out of the tomb and walked around on earth as the truth, he, upon the Pauline teaching, he didn't have to obey the 613 laws. He was a Christian. His sign was the cross. The cross is the symbol of suffering and pain. Only Cushite slaves and workers that were slaves was crucified on the cross in Rome at that time period. No Roman citizen could be crucified or killed in that way at that time period. He had blonde hair, blue eyes, and had transformed from what they called at that period of time a leper, or a leper in that period of time. So he taught out of the New Testament, wrote by a Gnostic Jew by the name of Paul, who taught to love everybody, and the Godhead became three in one when the Naz taught only to love the Father, honor everybody else, and obey the laws that you say you live upon the grace from the laws, upon this teaching This teaching has been given to us in 1870 of the people that they call Negroes, that was colored people, who changed their name in 1970 to Black African Americans. Your first church that you could be in was the Methodist Church, which was up under the Apostle Creed. You could be colored Methodist Episcopal or African American Episcopal. You could be Second Baptist, which is up under the Nicene Creed. These two creeds do not agree with each other upon one thing. They believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sin, the resurrection, and the forgiveness of God. They believe in the Holy Catholic Church, what they had wrote back in that day. You've only been a Christian for 152 years if you look like me. And with that said, the teaching of Paul, we can go straight down the book of what Paul misled the Gentile. He's the teacher of the Gentile. Your first commandment that the Nas told his disciples was not to go into the ways of the Gentiles. There's no way in that Bible that the Nas came down and told Paul to start teaching to the Gentile. But it is in that Bible, in the Acts, where Paul was according to Paul, they didn't accept his teaching. Then Paul say, I have set thee light to the Gentile, but thou shalt be for salvation unto the end of the earth. Paul told you that the teaching present day, he raised that up according to his doctrine, which was that of Gnosticism, which was that of Hinduism. And with that said, I'll turn you over to Brother Mahal, and then if you see a 0802 number up there, Brother Drew, bring Sister Charles on, and she can ask us any questions of what's going on. So go ahead on, Brother Maya.
Okay. All right, greetings, and thank you, Brother Dawadia, and again, thank you, Brother Drew, for the program and this platform. You opened up pretty good, Brother Dawadia, and I just want to go to what they call the fourth book of the five books of the Book of the Law, the Torah, and book number four in English, they call it the Book of Numbers, okay, which in Hebrew is Bamidbar. And the bar has something to do with the words, but for some reason they do translate this whole expression, which is what the fourth book is called, the Bamidbar, is supposed to mean in the wilderness. So chapter 6 of the Book of Numbers is the law of the Nazarite. So in chronological order, what we have here is a law that was given to Israel when they were in the wilderness. And the wilderness is not a desert. That's something entirely different. And just as a little historical caveat, the Apache Indians in old Apache Hebrew calls the state of Texas Ha Sinai. That's wilderness. Okay? Not a desert. A different word. Okay? We're going to start out with the Book of Numbers, chapter 6, and I'm going to read through so you can hear what's in this documentation about the law for the Nazarite. It says, Yehovah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, a man or woman who shall disassociate himself by taking a Nazarite vow of abstinence for the sake of Yehovah, from new or aged wine shall he abstain, and he shall not drink vinegar of wine or vinegar of aged wine. Anything in which grapes have been steeped shall he not drink, and the flesh and the dried grapes shall he not eat. All the days of his abstinence, anything made from wine grapes, even the pips or the skin, shall he not eat. All the days of his Nazarite vow, A razor shall not pass over his head until the completion of the day that he will be a Nazarite for the sake of Yahweh. Holy shall he be. The growth of hair on his head shall grow all the days of his abstinence for the sake of Yahweh. He shall not come near a dead person, to his father or to his mother or to his brother or to his sister. He shall not contaminate himself to them upon their death. For the crown of his power is upon his head. All the days of his abstinence he is holy to Yahweh. Now, it's a long list of things here. I want to get down to the main ingredient. Verse 21, again, we're in the book of Numbers, the Midbar, and we're going down to verse 21. It says, this is the law of the Nazarite who shall pledge his offering to Yahweh for his abstinence, aside from what he can afford according to his vow that he shall pledge, so shall he do in addition to the law of his abstinence. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, so shall you bless the children of Israel, saying to them, and this is how the children of Israel are supposed to be blessed. You can't bless somebody in the name of J.C. or what they call in Jesus Christ. And all. That's not allowed. Let not the name of another God, and this is not in this verse, but it's in Exodus 23, I believe. Let not the name of some other power or deity be heard coming from your mouth. Don't even whisper it from your lips. This is real key here. So if they're going to say Jesus of Nazareth, Nazareth was not a place. According to this book right here, the children of Israel were not in the land. They were in the wilderness first. And so the concept of what this is, Nazari, is from a place where they were not in a land of their own, but was giving these laws, commandments, statutes, orders, or ordinances and rules that they should govern and conduct themselves by first. Later on, with the introduction of the church, now they want to give us these fake maps, and they want to say there's a place called Nazareth. So rather than saying Jesus was the Nazarite, they're going to say Jesus of Nazareth. What are we saying here, people? The script was continued by that church to be flipped. Continuing, I'm going to continue. So let me go back. It says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, so shall you bless the children of Israel, saying to them, may Yahweh bless you and safeguard you. May Yahweh illuminate his countenance for you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance to you and establish peace for you. Let them place my name upon the children of Israel, and I shall bless them. This is not what we have going on. So that's the end of that verse. I want to jump to something because, Brother Dawadi, you mentioned very briefly about the Catholic Church, the use of the term Christ and as such. Marcion, one of the main people at the church, at that Council of Nicaea, made it quite clear as they were coming together to agree upon putting forth in the creation of this Jesus figure. But here's the catch, Brother Dawadia. You know in Latin, if they were speaking Latin, there is no letter J in Latin. So you wouldn't have said pronounce the word Jesus know-how anyway. And J does not exist in Greek. And if you look in the biblical dictionary, when you look up the word Jesus in the back of the New Testament concordance and you come across the word Jesus, it lets you know that that's an English word. And then they proceed to give you the Greek word, which they pronounce Isius. Okay? So that's a part in history. You can verify this. Listening audience can verify this by going to the New Testament concordance and see that the word Jesus that they're saying ain't even Greek. And this word that they're saying is barely 550 years old. Who in the world are they talking about? Let's get to who they're talking about. So Marcion said that the God of the Old Testament was their enemy. Let's be very clear about what we're talking about here. And they needed to create a new loving God who was not like the God of the Old Testament. So when you hear some of these people in the pulpit, some of them, talking, and you hear the vitriol and the hatred for anything to do with what they're calling the Old Testament, and by the way, what they're calling the Old Testament, it doesn't call itself old. There are still prophecies yet to be fulfilled in this book. And it never said that there was, and I'm going to address the part about what the New Testament is in a second, because we're about to go to Jeremiah 31 and 30. And I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to read it in English first, so we can understand how this New Testament, when if you're speaking in Hebrew, what is said, because they call theirs Habarit HaHadashah. That's what they call theirs if you're talking in Hebrew. But yet, Yahweh is using the terms Berit HaDashah and Jeremiah. So let's see what he says was going to be the renewing of a covenant and what was going to be the conditions and circumstances and what comes after a new testimony. So he says, this is Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, chapter 31, verse 30. Behold, days are coming, the word of Yahweh, when I will seal a renewed covenant, with the house of Israel, that's the 10 tribes, that when they split up during the Assyrian captivity, 10 tribes, they're all riding with Ephraim being the head of it, which is one of the tribes. And the southern kingdom was called Judea, which had Benjamin, Judah is the head of it, and Levi. So they all were in the south of the guys in the north. All the descendants of Jacob, now let me continue, so that's a little history there. And it says, he's going to renew a covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Okay, they had already split up, if you read in the book of Isaiah. They were already broken up. He said, not like the covenant that I sealed with their forefathers on the day that I took hold of their hand to take them out of the land of Egypt, for they abrogated my covenant, although I became their master. And it says the word of God. It says, for watch carefully. This is the covenant that I shall seal with the house of Israel after those days. Future tense. He says, the word of Yahweh, I will place my Torah within them, and I will write it into their heart. I will be a power for them, and they will be a people for me. They will no longer teach each man his fellow, each man his brother, saying, know Yahweh. For all of them will know me, from their smallest to their greatest, the word of Yahweh. When I will forgive their iniquity and will no longer recall their sin. So in Hebrew, because this Tanakh has English on one side of the page and Hebrew on the other side, these crafty characters of the church took from Jeremiah, and they do use this footnote in their New Testament, but they don't give you what the expression was said, using the Hebrew understanding. So the word is Berit Chadashah. They turned around and said that theirs is the quote-unquote New Testimony by putting the definite article of Ha in front of it. So I have a New Testament here in Hebrew, and when I turn the book to the side and I read the Hebrew letters, there by calling theirs that theirs is it, metaphysically, they have superseded in their mind's eye Berit Chadashah by saying that theirs is Habarit HaChadashah. That's a huge problem. A huge problem. Now, continuing. Yes, sir.
I didn't know it was this late. Brother Jude, do you see you got Lady Charles online? Brother Drew. Brother Drew. I guess we'd have lost Brother Drew. He must be doing something.
Want me to continue? And then I'll interject every so often and say, Brother Drew, are you back?
Okay. All right.
Okay. So this whole discussion. So you mentioned something very interesting when you talked about the word Christ, Krishna. Okay. You got to go back. As far as the audience is concerned, you guys need to pay attention to this Ptolemy character. Because Ptolemy takes the word, and instead of pronouncing it Krishna, it's Karas. And you know, every Easter, the Catholic Church, which they broadcast this live all over the planet, uses the word, calls it the Eucharistic prayer, Eucharas, Soter Epiphany, or Epiphanos. Who is Soter? So Ptolemy was coronated by the Coptics by force. He had them coronate him as Christ. And they did do that. And what were these people were called Hellenist first, before the modern terminology of Christian. And if you look up the word Christian in a unabridged dictionary, the root word is Christianus. Looking up the root word of Christianus, you find that that word comes from the word Cretan. And a Cretan means a person who was suffering from dwarfism, mental retardation, basically a messed up person, a retarded person. So when we see this term being used twice in the New Testament, and they were first called Christian at Antioch, that term is not a term of endearment. Endearment. They're not being talked about in a nice way. And then you mysteriously have a book in the New Testament, Titus, who is one of the Roman generals who was putting to death lots of people in the street. He's got a whole thing in there. He's talking about the Cretans.
Right.
And how that definition in the book of Titus is talking about the Cretans is the definition of a Cretan. And the word Christianus is from this word.
Right. Chapter 1,
gluttonous,
verse 12.
Lazy. You can't trust them. You know, they don't do what is right. And this is the situation we've got going on with the world of churchianity today. I don't even call it Christianity. I just call it churchianity. Lawless. They don't observe laws. They said the law has been done away with. And yet you've got, quote-unquote, Jesus of Nazareth telling you that the law is not done away with until heaven and earth pass away. Well, I got up this morning, and I woke up breathing this morning, Brother Dawadia. Saw my reflection in the mirror, looked outside. We still got a sky, and I still have a ground to stand upon. The law is still in effect, period.
And see, what the mind has got to realize is, that you got to realize that if you believe in Christianity, you don't know the history of it, then the history of it is the people that they prophesied it already about in this book. Who are these people? It's very easy in 2023 to know who these people are. These people are the people that call themselves black African-Americans that's a Christian, Democrat and Republican, and that he's in the ways he believes what was given to him by Magog and Gog, who was a cursed nation of people. He wasn't
right.
supposed
and
to
what
go in the
Paul
ways
say?
Of the
Gentiles. And what did Paul say in the New Testament? He said,
right.
if you follow the law, you be circumcised according to the law, then Christ profits you nothing. So the trip that Paul was on was a wholly, entirely different thing. You got somebody baptizing by water, and you got somebody baptizing by spirit. And you see what, in the book of Acts, and then the same person they're talking about, Paul, this particular Paul in the book of Acts, is not the, apparently is not the same as Paul in the book of Romans and all these other books. Those are all different Pauls. And you see that when you read the book of Acts, which is supposed to be the lead book that starts off when you start dealing with Paul and the Pauline doctrine. So the
right.
Paul in the book of Acts, he's a black fellow. In Acts chapter 21, going towards the last part of the verses, spilling over into Acts chapter 22. What did the Roman, and that Paul didn't even speak Greek. Yet that New Testament is written in Greek? Are you kidding me? What did the Roman centurion ask that Paul? He said, do you speak Greek? Some Bibles translate as, do you know Greek? But the actual Greek word says, do you speak it? So what language is that Roman centurion speaking to Paul in if he's asking Paul, does he speak Greek? Or does he know Greek, King in Greek? Greek and Latin are entirely two different languages. Latin is a Romance language, and Greek is a Baltic language, much like Russian and Ukrainian. So we already know those languages aren't the same. And then the Roman centurion asked Paul, this is how you know what color Paul was. The Roman centurion then asked Paul, aren't you that Egyptian who some time ago led the 400 in sedition? And he said, no, he is Paul of Tarsus. So he quickly let this guy know. But yet in the book of Acts, in the earlier chapters in the book of Acts, this same Paul says he's of the house of Judas. Very interesting story that Catholic Church sat there, plagiarized, and pulled things from different times. Now, let's give the listening audience a little bit more to whet their appetite. The names in the New Testament, Nicanor, Lysias, Timothy, Demetrius, a whole bunch of names in the New Testament was plagiarized from the book of Maccabees. So Judas in the New Testament is a bad guy. In the book of Maccabees, Judas is the guy who stood up with the 400 to fight against the Greeks at the time Ptolemy existed, and Ptolemy was the Christ. So now go back to the New Testament, and you have Judas betraying Christ, and then take that story, go back into the book of Maccabees, and you find out that Judas is fighting against that Greek guy whose title is now Karast, Soter. He's your savior. So I use a term when they take things from and take it out of place, out of position, and they put it and move it forward. I call it thing it forward. That's what they did. That's plagiarism. Took all these names. So Demetrius, Lacana, Timothy, all these guys, Lysias, they're all bad guys in the book of Maccabees. All of those are bad people. In the New Testament, they're good people. In the New Testament, you don't know what their last names are. You don't know who their fathers are. Why not? And they still make way to tell you their genealogy somehow in the New Testament. So you know that they're not Israelites. But Judas is the bad guy, and he's not. He fought against those cats in the book of Maccabees. So they gave you a clue. Again, in the book of Acts, towards the end of chapter 21, when the Roman centurion is speaking to Paul in Latin, "Do you know Greek? And aren't you that Egyptian who led the 400 some time ago in sedition?" That's that same number that's in the book of Maccabees. Judas Maccabee, the hammer, the priestly class, Nazarites. You see what's going on here? Nazarites against the Greeks and what the Greeks were doing. Anything you want to add, my brother?
Well, if Sister Charles is on, I apologize to her. I don't know what happened, Brother Drew. Brother Drew, you there?
Yeah, let me make sure if they're on the line, push one. Lady D, if you're trying to get in, push one on the phone and I can find your number. Let's see. Okay, there we go. All right.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, how you doing?
I'm good. I need to hear some excitement. I'm glad to be on this historic show on today. I want to say good afternoon to Meatball. How are you this evening? And I was listening to the brother dialogue, on Christianity. And prior to that, I was listening to about the start of the church and the difference between the Christianity and the Nazarenes. Can y'all hear me clear?
Yeah, we hear you.
I want to start first by saying I want to skip the come back to the difference between the Nazarenes and the Christian church because I want to come from my way. I recognize that you on this line got a lot of knowledge and history and truth, but I'm still going to come with my truth. And my truth may not be as seasoned as y'all's, but it's still some truth that I know. For the brother that's been talking about Christianity, because at some point you were a Christian before you came into the truth and the knowledge of where you are now, correct?
No, I was never raised a Christian.
You were never
no,
raised
ma'am.
Christian. Your parents weren't
no,
Christian either.
I wasn't.
But
I
I'm
wasn't
asking
either.
A question. Was your parents Christian?
No, they were not.
Okay. So I'm understanding that your parents weren't Christian, nor you are Christian. Okay, I
right.
got that. As I don't call myself a Christian because I still go to church, but I call myself a believer. And the reason why I separate a Christian and a believer, because to me, the Christian term is diluted, it's contaminated. Because we got people in the world today calling themselves Christians, but they do any and everything that doesn't have anything to do with Christian, nor does it represent it. The reason why I call myself a believer is because I believe in the truth and not what a watered-down doctrine or what a white man has given unto me. I test, I search, and I dig for everything. I don't just go with the sayers. Now, when we're in the church and they're preaching, because I heard you on some of the line talking about that when the preachers preach, yes, you got a lot of folks that set up in church will believe what he's saying, will not even open their Bible and even see if he's really quoting the scripture appropriately. I'm different. If you're telling me that God said, I need to open it up and see if he said it, when he said it, and what was the atmosphere around when he was saying it. And a lot of people in the church don't do that. And I want to bring up a scripture here, like pertaining to Paul. And I'm not going to stay here long. If we go to Timothy, when Paul was saying that a woman is supposed to stay silent, a woman is not supposed to speak in the church, a woman ain't supposed to be preaching, she's supposed to just be silent. Now, if you go study that and go a little bit deeper in theology, first of all, who was Paul talking to during that time? He was talking to the church of what? And I want to see if you know your history. He was talking
one
to what
the church?
What was the church name that he was talking to during that particular time?
Oh, I can tell you which of the sevens he was talking about.
I didn't hear you.
I said I couldn't tell you which of the seven churches he was talking to.
The seven churches.
But it's in the Bible. It's in there.
Yeah.
All of that is
Greek. Everything was scripted forward from the Maccabean period to pretend that this happened in the Roman time. That's what I. That was my point I was making about the history. So Timothy is Prometheus in the Book of Maccabees. He's a bad guy.
So
he
wrote
to the seven churches of Asia. That tell you that.
That's correct. He wrote to the seven churches in Asia.
But
that's correct. But he was correcting a
church,
which was
the seven churches of Asia was one of the most wicked churches. It is. And then they got one that's right over there in Fort Worth called a Philadelphia church, named after that. The seven churches of Asia was up under the Nicolaitan doctrine that you find in Revelation 2, that Jesus said that he hated that teaching of the Nicolaitan doctrine. All you have to do is go to the 15th. So has there also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitan, which things I hate, but you tell me Jesus loved everything. See, the seven churches of Asia were very familiar with the seven churches of Asia, if that's what you're talking about.
And they were established immediately after Alexander the Greek's time, during the Greek time frame. And now they pretend it's in the Roman time, and they've got Paul scripted in the Roman times. That's what the church did. They took history that had already transpired and moved the history forward and polished it up a little bit. That's called plagiarism. That's what Judas Maccabee and the Book of Maccabees
was fighting
against. Everything
that Paul said was a lie. He was a myth. I put Paul like this. These Apollonians are tying with me, and he's a little faggot because he didn't like women. And he told you, you could see that he was a white man's nigga because he said, servants obey your master. Do what your master say. If you were a slave, be a slave. So we know that he was a house nigga. That's what I call him. That was a faggot. He was a scout, tall and 5'1". I got a whole history on him of how he looked. He was deformed in his looks. That's where he hated women. That's who Apollonius of Tyana is. You there, sister?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm making sure you hear. I guess I'm coming around to a defense that my point I was trying to make when Paul was making that statement about the women, there was a contradiction he did with himself, because if you read on, he was only dealing with them because that was the church at that time that was out of order. They was in rebellion.
We already know what Paul was. He taught you what is called the mystery cut. So you got a whole cut called the mysteries of God. That's the mysteries cut taught by the Gnostic Masons. If you're a Gnostic Mason, all the Masonic orders, we already know all the Masonic orders in the sectors that was in Jewish sectors at that time period. That's what I was telling you, sister. We haven't missed anything in our study. And we already know who Paul was and what doctrine he taught. He taught you, he raised up Jesus Christ, the teaching of Jesus Christ, according to his gospel, which was that of a Gnostic Mason, which is that of Mithraism, which comes into Hinduism. That's what he taught. He tell you that when he tell you about Simon Simon Mingle that was in his writing of what Simon Mangles at that time taught. We have studied all of this, so this is what I tell you. There is nothing that we haven't studied about what present-day Christianity is. We don't care if you believe it or not, but present-day Christianity is false doctrine and false teaching given to you by your conqueror 152 years ago. And you haven't looked, and nobody in the church with a doctor's degree has looked into this knowledge that we have. We've been doing this for almost 40-some years. We didn't come out here yesterday doing this. And we have the books, and we have everything that we need to learn about the history. And in your Bible, it tell you that it was some people that would know the mysteries of God. You're talking to them, and it tells you in your Bible that before there was a prophet or a preacher in Israel, there was a seer. A seer is a person that can see history. And the only way you do that, you had to be the Ancient of Days, which you had to study with the Ancient of Days in this philosophy. Not only have we studied with the Christians, we done studied the history of any religion that you can name. We know the history of it. It's wrote down of who started it and when it got started. 330,000 different gods that's been worshipped across the water, that came from the east to the west, that traveled from the east to the west. It makes me say how you're traveling from east to west. Why you're traveling from east to west? The gospel began in the east and came to the west riding Clyde. Clyde came from over here. So all of that knowledge of any religion, we have documentation, and we know what is written in those books about those religions and what time period they came into, people believing in an ideology of a man at the time period. And that's who we're about, sister.
Well, sister, I want to say you're on track with your level and what you're doing. Because
right.
You
don't
were making a point about the book of Timothy and seeing the contradiction about, you know, and then who they were talking to as you were illustrating those points as well, and the fact that you call yourself a believer as opposed to how you see the label of quote-unquote Christian as you, and you know some things aren't right. And I'm just saying it lightly. But you were given the detail about some things that you were paying attention to. Only thing I was doing was adding a timeline. That's all. So that's why when I read the law of Nazarite, that was Moses gave that law, and he gave it to Aaron. And Aaron gave it to the priests and said how the children of Israel should be blessed and what all of the things that come with being a Nazarite. So Nazarite did not happen in the Roman days or anything like that. Nah, it's way back before they were even in the land that was that the people of Israel was actually occupying, that said this is their land. They hadn't even made it to the promised land yet. As a matter of fact, most of them died out. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Dawadia. They had died out after giving all this information and the laws and the statutes and all that. You know, things didn't go right, and for 40 years, well, we know the story about the 40 years, so, but still the law was given, though. And you remember Samson. Samson is a Nazarite. You got quite a few people throughout that, what they call the Old Testament, that they're Nazarites, and they're saved. So it's not a new thing. The Greeks came along and tried to step all over it. And those seven churches,
but on the right,
they were already
the right
established.
Road.
Go ahead, sister. I'm sorry.
You're on the right road, sister, to study. Don't believe nothing nobody say. Go do the research for yourself.
Yeah.
And we got to get ready to come on your show, so it's after 2.
Yes,
yeah.
I have
I'm
to
not,
cut him off. But
I'm not sure
everything you were saying,
yeah.
And
I'm not
just,
sure
if I'm going to
be
able to. I have to come back home, sir, to respond to some things you were saying, because I really wanted to. Because it really needs to be heard from a woman's perspective. So until then, I'm going to say I enjoy being on the show, and I definitely want to come back and dialogue on this topic. because everybody got an opinion. But what?
Wait a minute. We do not have no opinion. Opinion and a fact is two different things. The definition of a fact. It's a difference between a fact. I deal with facts. Facts. Documentation be called conversation. That's my motto. And we don't deal with no opinions. We deal with
facts. So everybody got their facts. So I want to come back with mine. Is that okay?
Well, I want to get that straight, that we don't deal with opinions. You got your facts. If you got facts, the same facts that you got, I guarantee you we got those same facts.
Well, that's wonderful. So let's come back. I would love to come back and dialogue with my facts
y'all. Do you want me to come on your show this evening or what?
Yes, sir. I have to get ready to go. It's at 3 o'clock.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you come back? We'll schedule a show with you. Come on your show, and you question us.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Yeah, because you presented that when you started with Timothy, sister. And I was going to say, because all the women in the Old Testament, as you know, weren't quiet. You had Deborah, who's a woman judge. You had all this stuff going on.
Oh,
so women were very active in what they call the Old Testament. So there was no, they were learning silence.
Dorcas.
That didn't happen.
You got the history of Dorcas. You got the history of Paul was mad because at that day and time, the people was accept Dorcas as the prophet, not him. And she was a female. That's why he said all that shit about the female. He wasn't recognized as the prophet at that time, at that time period. See, we're dealing with the history, not our history. We're dealing with the history of Yehuda and Yahshua and the two kingdoms they had kings. This, the history of the Bible, what you believe, what the Gentiles believe in, that ain't even their history. Because that's the history. And Christianity history is not the history of a Gaul and a Germanic race of people. The Gauls, which was the first Christians of the tribes of Magog, Gog, Tubal, Javan, and Tyria, those children.
Yeah.
We deal with the northern hemisphere, the complete history of the northern hemisphere, and the people of Japheth in the second generation, which is Bereshit, not Genesis. It wasn't the beginning. The beginning, history started in ancient Sumer with the beginning, with the Ainu in the 19th galaxy of the people, Anunnakians, with Eli and Enoch. That's where history starts.
Oh, right, yeah. and they are mentioned in the book that was one of the five we should not get ourselves entangled with, which is the Anakim, the Raphaim, the Giborim. So they're mentioned. And the thing was, also, sister, you already, and I believe you are already aware of this, when you look in the Old Testament, or what they call the Old Testament, it's a huge difference when you have the Creator talking to one of his prophets, and he's also talking to his wife. You got him talking to Moses and Aaron, and he's talking to their sister Miriam. So there was no difference between Creator talking to whomsoever he chose to talk to.
Yes.
And you remember the story with Moses. Moses was a big-time prophet in the eyes of the Creator. But when he was failing to do the circumcision, he talked to Moses' wife, and she took up the stone, and she circumcised, and she said she told Moses he did that so that the Most High wouldn't kill him.
Uh-huh.
So the Creator's equal opportunity when he's talking to everybody who's got a soul.
Uh-huh.
And he does say all souls are his.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the good part in there. So with the reestablishment of what it says, which prophecies are yet to be fulfilled in the Tanakh, including putting the people back in their land, all the territories and everything that they're supposed to have, women are not going to be done wrong. Ain't got nothing to do with them doing wrong. It was never tolerated in the Torah in the first place. There is no law in there where a man can beat his wife. That's not in the Torah. or the Most High speaks to the woman and the man tells her to shut up. That's not in the law.
But why do y'all do it? You right.
None of that's in the law. That's not in the law. The Most High is about upliftment and edification of one another. And said that we are priestly people to him to go out and teach the entire world, the people who want to have a soul, the people who want to get it right. And you know what? He says that them strangers are going to come to us and take a hold of us, and they're going to admit that they had inherited lies from their fathers, and they want to go up and serve the true living God with us. And he says, and in that day, when the Gentile vows a vow, it will be heard and accepted, and they shall have peace, and they shall live. So
yeah.
The world knows where this is going. It's us who's got to catch up, because the world is sitting there looking at us going, when are we going to get it together? When are we going to figure it out and realize that the enemy who's been telling us about, quote-unquote, what they felt they should tell us about, quote-unquote, the Creator, God Almighty, whatever terminologies we're using, they're the ones who got us in this situation of cognitive distortion. We know the answer 1 plus 1 is 2, but now we're calling 1 plus 1 is equal to 2 something else. That's what they call cognitive distortion. And we don't, and many of us, you know, not you per se, but many, as a people, many of us don't know that when we go to do this simple arithmetic, that the answer we're saying is wrong. We're starting to figure that out now. Hey, that's the wrong answer. 1 plus 1 is not 9. It's never equal 9. There's a law.
You know what?
Yes,
when we come to algebra and geometry, what if I was to tell you I really thought they were doing that wrong? Because it didn't make sense to me and I never could get it. But when I made that statement, this is wrong, that looked to me like I was crazy.
And they will, because what you're saying is something that's more in line with what the Creator wants you to say. Listen, there's a simple understanding for this. If it's not in your soul, you can't do things that is not in your soul. Your soul, our souls, knows the truth all the time.
They, in school, now I scored above reading in school. I was good with my history in school. History teacher called on me all the time to read and to lead it, because I studied it and paid attention. But now when it came out to the mathematics, they tried to put me in special ed because I was trying to tell the teacher, this ain't right. You this, that, and they just would look at me like, girl, where are you coming from? Because I'm looking at this. This is not the proper answer for this.
Yeah. You know, sister, you just reminded me. You just used an expression I use, and I have a degree in physics. And when I was a math tutor, this is when I became aware of it. I said, if you look at this equation that you're having a problem with, I was helping people solve homework problems, grown people, adults, adult education. And I said, now look at this equation. If you look at it, you can see. And I always use the word looking at it. So one student called it the my eyeball method. I never thought about calling it that. But he was like, I know what you're saying is right, but how are you seeing this? And I said, well, if you just look at it, you could see this. That's what I used to say. And I didn't really know any other way to say it at the time. But look, he got you. Creator got you, hands down.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Men of history. Lady Charles, have to go for her next show. Until then, I want to say blessings.
Same to you, and likewise.
Thank you.